I'll switch to this after I use this. Good. Thank you so much. Thank you, Penny. Thank you, band. Thank you. Appreciate that. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I wanted to just share real quick my trip from South Africa. I just took a few photos, and so I was just going to go through them. Those of you who helped me get there, I wanted to show you and prove that I did get there and just some of the things that had taken place. This is our original team. The brother right there with the funny glasses, that's Apostle Peter van Niekerk. And Peter is, I met him 25 years ago, actually, in Columbia, South Carolina. He was at a church out in Blythewood. And Patty and Ralph Walden, who are not here tonight, they invited him to come and minister there. And so I came out and saw him minister, and I was just blown away by the depth of his message. It was something I'd never heard before. He obviously was well-studied, but just had a very unusual anointing. And so I had to talk to him, and they were kind enough to let me go out and meet him at their office. And we talked for about 3 hours underneath a tree, and we became very close friends ever since then. And so Peter kept on coming back to to Columbia, and I would meet him. And through kind of a strange events with my coaching at USC, I'd recruited a girl from South Africa whose their nationals were in Durban, South Africa, which is where his church is. And so the university was flying me to South Africa, and he would set me up in churches in the evening. And so it was quite, that was going on for 10 years. So, but this past two times I've had to go out there on my own. And so I thank you very much for all those who contributed to help me get there, because it's not cheap to go to South Africa. Once you get there, it's fairly inexpensive, but to fly there crossed up. But anyway, that is a team. That's Peter van Niekerk. That's Peter McClellan, I think is the way he pronounced his name. And that's his wife, Denise. And this is Willa. And Willa is a prophetess. They both are about the same age. They're almost 80 years old. I think Willa is 80. Peter's not quite there. He's almost 80. You would never know it, though. The guy's just incredible shape. Walks at least 5 miles a day. And is just in good shape. So, next. This is the first church that I went to when I got over there. It's Apostle Collins here in the middle. And Apostle Collins is a very unusual man. He was raised where there were mountains and just a very poor background. And Peter had helped Collins establish his church. And Collins now has a church of, I think, probably at least 15,000. He has over about 30-some churches. And Peter, because he knows Peter opens up the door for me to come in there. And so we ministered. That was the first meeting. Yeah, Peter will dress, he's in African garb. You just never know. He's just always, everything he has on has a story behind it. Actually, that what he has on there was actually given to me by the Queen the year before. And she just saw me as a warrior and said, I want to give you something. And I said, fine, or whatever, and I didn't get it that day, but I went, and then a week went by, and I was at a church on the floor ministering to people, and this carrier just comes out of nowhere and says, I have this here for you. I go, okay, this is from the Queen. I go, oh, okay. It was like a little suit thing. You carry around a suit, and it's leopard skin, and I gave it to Peter because I have no need for that, so I gave it to Peter. So Peter... this is just kind of like, I didn't realize that this church I was going to be on was going to be on TV, and it was, so they're putting makeup on me. So I had all kinds of distractions going into this particular meeting, because this church, the first church I was in, was in the center of Durban, and everything is strategically located for the Lord. When you realize, you read the Bible, that areas and regions and things that ministry took place had special meanings to it. And the Lord's part of my assignment over there was to pull down a specific stronghold. And so this first church was in Durban, and it was in the right place at the right time. And so I was basically on a mission. But you can imagine, you know, when you guys, some of you experience this, when you go into different ministry settings, there will be distractions. And you have to always remember to stay focused in on your mission and not get caught up by what you might be going on. Like, I didn't realize it was going to be on TV. That's already a large church to begin with, and now I'm going to be on TV. I just couldn't let that get in my brain, and so I forced it out. So anyway, this is in the church, and that's Apostle Collins, and I had a word for him. And it's another thing that when you're ministering under the anointing, and you have to make sure that you understand that you've got to stay focused and on the Lord. You can't be caught up in your surroundings, or this person is very important, or that person. You understand what I'm saying? Because you can get really intimidated, and the flow can stop. So you really have to make sure that you stay in the flow. You stay within the parameters of your mission, as the Holy Spirit will always give you parameters of your mission. I don't care if you're going over into Irmo and you're just supposed to meet somebody at McDonald's. I mean, God is that very specific, where God will tell you to do certain things, but you have to stick to your mission. You know, when Jesus sent the 70 out, remember, he said, don't say hello to anybody, just go. And so I had a word for the brother, and part of his word was that he was not perceiving, he needed to perceive his churches as as warriors versus a congregation. And that they were called to go outside the walls, which they are actually doing. One of the things I really respected about this man is I sat down with him and I talked to him about how it was the Lord's church and not his church. And I didn't say it to, like, you know, directly like that. I did say it, but I said it in a way where, but he really received it, because I could tell when I got near the brother that he was on fumes. He was just so spread out and so doing so much, and he was just, his tank was about empty. And so I was in the green room, they call it, beforehand, where I was getting my makeup or whatever, and he came in. I just walked over, and I just put my hands on him, and I just said, you know that it's his church. I said, you know that. And I kept saying that to him, but as I was saying it to him, I could tell the Holy Spirit was just moving and flowing through me. I don't always feel that physically, but I was that particular day for whatever reason. So I knew that the Lord was really doing something to him, and he really touched him in a really sovereign way. And that word that I had for him in the meeting, again, you probably can see my eyes are closed. I don't normally prophesy with my eyes closed. Sometimes I do it just to matters, but I didn't want to be distracted. I really wanted to bring what Lord had for this brother, because he impacts many thousands of people, and he has one of the largest churches in South Africa right now, growing anyway. That's the one church in Durban, and I think I'm in there somewhere. Maybe I'm not in that picture. You go next. So one of the things that happens in a lot of these churches is they have these stages, and nobody comes down off the stage. Now, I don't know this. I don't know what the rules are, because I'm an American, right? So I have a lot of liberty as an American, because we're just not, you know, we don't know the rules. So I don't even stay on stage hardly at all. I mean, I'm down in there because I just feel like the Lord wants to just get down with the people and get rid of this stage type mentality with ministry that we all have been exposed to, you know, because your ministries are just as valid as mine or anybody else's. Everybody has a calling. Everybody has something that you got to do in this earth. I mean, you're going to give an account to God for that. And that's one of the things that I really charge the congregations that I get involved in, or the people that I'd always say that, you know, hey, everybody has a mission here. And it changes the atmosphere when you say that, because now people have their ears open to hear what their mission is. What is it that I've got to go do? And they go out there motivated to carry out their mission. Because sometimes a lot of these places, it's just about the church and building this place and making this place great and all the above. That brother back there, you can see how, yeah, see, I walked right out into the thing is, I mess up the cameras too, because their cameras were and positioned in a way. I mean, I'm literally almost on top of the guy. He's a little bit further up where the camera is. But one of the things that they're not used to is, because of the large crowd, you know, you can't necessarily prophesy everybody from the stage, but I'll go up and I go up and to whoever the Lord would lead me to. And these people know each other. It's amazing. Sometimes, actually, go ahead and go to the next one, I think. This is another church that I was in. And this is WCF. This is actually the church that Peter had founded. It sits right in the middle of a really poor area, one of the poorest area in Durban. And it sits down in the bottom of a valley. And there's all these warehouses that are around it. And it sits right in the middle. And all these warehouses, these big businesses, actually kept on trying to buy the church property, and Peter would not sell it. I mean, they were offering him millions of dollars, and he would not sell the land because he believed that he was supposed to have a church that was built right there. And it's, anyway, but these are the leaders in this particular church. And I ministered to the pastor about 6 hours prior to getting here. I had an exhortation to about every pastor I ministered to. It wasn't just, hey, I'm here, I'm coming to minister your church, and I'll bring a good word and come back. It wasn't like that at all. There were very specific things that I was to tell these guys. One is that it is his church, it's the Lord's church, not their church. And then secondly, there were some specifics that I had to tell this brother in terms of unity and to repair some things. And this particular church, before I went into it, I actually had a specific dream, and I followed through what I interpreted the dream to be. But what was interesting is that this brother back here, he wasn't in the meeting. So I'm ministering to them, and this is the mom, that's the two sons, and then that's the daughter. So when I ministered to her, I asked her if she had another son. She said, oh yeah, he's not here. And I go, and so I go get the phone out. So I got the phone out, and I ministered into the phone a specific prophecy for him. So she sent it to him. Well, he was on his way. Because basically, I think I said, you know, God told you to be here and you're not here. Well, he heard that, I guess. And so he's on his way. He said he wasn't going to be there, but he actually was listening to God. So he starts coming. So he comes in. He's already had this word, so he's already kind of blown away. But he comes in and he says something so unique. And I don't know if any of these people even heard it. As he said, you know, we just don't see the signs and the wonders like they had back in the day or whatever he's talking about. I think he was talking about Catherine Kuhlman, actually. He says, I think it's because of us. So he's echoing what I've been talking to the pastor 6 hours prior to that. So it was amazing how God just put everything together. And I had a word for everybody in here, all these people. And then after that, went around and they all individually testified to what God was saying to them and also what they heard in terms of the message that I gave them. And what's interesting, and this is really true, and this happens here too, is that the anointing inside of you actually teaches you. And when someone is teaching you, the anointing that's activated within you, you actually hear sometimes something different than this person hears over here. It's all individualized. And it's so neat to see that played out. This is the other gathering, the place that I was talking about, whenever they had their own thing called their gathering. And you can't really see everybody in there, but it's this was a group that they had come in, and they were singing, and we weren't set up to play the video, but man, boy, could they sing. It was just blue. It just was so awesome. And they did a dance up there, and they were all prepared. And the Lord really moved strongly there. The guy that actually leads this group was another brother there that's his name, Peter, the other Peter that I showed you in the very first picture, and he's the one that's hosting it. This is something that was told to me before I went to South Africa, that I would encounter these marine demons. Well, this, you can't really tell by this picture. You can see that, I'll show you the next one. This guy was going to the water and coming back and raising his hands and filling this up with some water. And at first I didn't know what it was, but what they do is they have like a ritual where they pray to their ancestors. And they also call these demonic spirits from the ocean. I don't know whether this guy was trying to minister some type of healing to this lady or what was going on, but it was apparent that it was some kind of demonic thing. They actually have had such a problem with it, the authorities have had to get all these people off the beaches. I think the next one, there's another guy doing the same thing. This guy was taking this guy, he's got a red cross on his back, and he was taking this guy and just dragging him in the water. And somebody was telling me a lot of times they'll strip them completely naked when they're doing it, and they're trying to cleanse him or something, but it wasn't a baptism. And this, I think that's a, I don't know if that's, in one of the videos, some kind of black bird just took off that was right around this dude. And, the night after I saw all this, I had a dream. I was in a dream of whatever it was, and I was underwater. And it was a very seductive type dream where I'm kind of like being lured into the water, and I'm walking in, and all of a sudden I realize I'm underwater, but I had like this protective plastic or shield that was over me, because I remember pushing and thinking, well, gosh, if I break this thing, I'm going to drown. And I woke up. I didn't go back to sleep that night. I wasn't scared. It was, you know, I was warned about this, and I just didn't want to go back to sleep. And so I just dealt with it in the spirit. This is the other night. This is, I think it was this brother over here. I don't know if you can see how it's him. I want to say he was back in that area. I can't tell from the picture. But this whole group, they all came. I ended up praying for everybody in this room, plus the balcony. I mean, after the thing, the people were so hungry. I know that I gave out over 300 prophecies that night, because it wasn't like going down and just like, you know, how you see people kind of going down. They like lay hands and they push people down or whatever. It wasn't anything like that. God did so many unique things in that particular meeting, especially among the kids. A lot of kids came up and administered over them. But there was one, I don't know if it was this brother or not, but one of these brothers I prayed for, I think it might have been this guy, actually. I think that's who it was. This guy had like a personal earthquake around him, right at his feet. And he was shaken from here on down. But here on up, he wasn't even moving. And it was a sign, man. And I sat back and watched this thing. And everybody that was around it, and the guy that was doing the associate pastor was watching this too. And it was just the Holy Spirit just ministering in different forms. You know, it's just amazing how he manifests himself. And it's him that does it. And a lot of these times that you're involved in your ministries and stuff, just know this, you can have complete confidence that God is there to do it. It's his will to touch people and to heal people. It really is.
Amen.
And when Jesus said he could do nothing on his own, he only could do what the Father, he saw the Father doing him, that's exactly our relationship with him. We can't do anything on our own, okay? But Jesus can. He can heal people and save them and deliver them and do all kinds. But signs and wonders are for us, will follow us because we believe. And so you can expect that kind of thing to happen in your ministries. It's not just for the select few. It's for every believer. So just different, the kids were being touched in different ways. Some of the kids there just had different, not deformed, but sometimes their physical features were a little messed up. A lot of people there's a lot of people that didn't have jobs. One of the things that the Lord said to me about their jobs, though, that they need to hear is that the mission is a job and the job is in the mission. It was trying to connect the two to make the body understand that, yeah, he's not like this Santa Claus in the sky. I think we treat God like that a lot of times. But what we don't understand, a lot of the doors that open to you and to me are in the mission. You know, the authority of God is in your mission. It's not outside of it necessarily. And you have to understand that the job is the mission is a job, that God will train you in your job. I mean, he trained me for 40 years how to move prophetically through coaching. I didn't go to anywhere. I didn't learn it from the church. I learned it from the Holy Spirit in the job. So we need to understand that. I think it's very important. Now, this was a meeting that got set up based out of that, what happened in the church in Durban on Sunday. This is another one of his Apostle Collins churches. And this is the lead pastor here, this brother right here. This lady had been in a coma, I think, I want to say for 5 months, and was sharing her testimony, which was absolutely incredible. And she was experiencing the Lord in that time. And this brother moved in dreams, had a prophetic dream that he had shared. But I ended up, and this guy over here, you can't see him too much. Zoom at me, zoom back a little bit. Anyway, you see part of him. Yeah, there he is. This guy actually designed the building. He did all the plans and so forth. And he was on fumes. He was crying, man. He's crying like a baby. These guys, these guys needed so much strength. They were just words of encouragement were coming to them, but they have influence over so many people. So the good thing about this mission, not only did I get to minister to a lot of individuals, but I got to these leaders. And this is what I really like about this church is they think they have over 100 home meetings. And so they really are evangelistic in nature. And some of the brothers that we're talking to, they were wondering what was going on. They said, well, some of their home meetings were becoming too social. They weren't evangelistic enough. So anyway, this is the church that we prayed over. It wasn't even built the last time I was there. And it got, I don't know how fast, they put that thing up so fast. And it's huge, and I think it holds over 3,000 people or whatever. So when I go back next time, they're going to have me come there, I think, as well. Now, this is a unique thing. Peter started a ministry with Basil, who is her husband. He passed on, and they were very close, and the family was close, and it just shattered the family when he passed. It was unexpected. This Peter right there. That's Peter, right there. That's Peter, and this lady right here is Basil. Basil's wife, and I forgot her name already. But anyway, he had passed on, I think, about a year ago or so, and really devastated the family. And so they were just really, they were hurting. So we were just actually going there to encourage them, and so when I came in there, there's so much history between Peter and this family, and they're reminiscing and going through all these things. But when I walk in the door, the first thing the Lord tells me is that she is going to fall in love and get married. Okay, the millennium is coming. So I'm sitting there, I'm blown away by it, because it's not something that I get like that often. So I'm looking on her fingers to see if she's married, because I don't want to be wrong, you know, because I know I got to deliver, it's going to happen. And so I just don't say anything, and they're not asking me to say anything. So I'm thinking, well, I might be able to get out of there without saying anything. But finally, the son, who's not in this picture, came walking in, and he is the one that's taken over the church, and he moved back from Canada, and they're meeting in a hotel right now. And so we ended up ministering over him, and then I stopped, and then Peter, of course, says, "Well, you got something for Michelle? You got a word for all these people?" And because he always does that to me anyway, so I have to be ready no matter what. So I tell her, and she sits there and she's shaking like this, and then her mom at the end goes, "Well, you know, we can't have the. I try to have these discussions in the camp, but last week in the morning, I woke up and I had this thought that you needed to get married and all this stuff." And so she goes and she says all this stuff. And so it's really confirming the word that I had for her. But she's shaking because she knows that this is the Lord. And she was standing on that word that's best not to be married. And anyway, so these guys, and I ended up ministering on down the line that she would begin to start singing prophetically. And there was also instruction along with it. She's a beautiful voice. She actually was singing to us. And the mom has a healing ministry, and I was speaking to that you know, the north wind had blown on the family. And this is prior, the night before, we had a manifestation where the wind came in. It was like probably about 30, 40 mile an hour wind, constant, but gusting to 50, and it came from the north. And the reason why it's kind of significant, because I've had these weather events. Every time I go over there, some kind of weather event would happen. And so everybody was waiting for it to happen. I'd have to go back into history to tell you everything. But anyway, so this wind comes. And so the Lord was telling me that the south wind was going to come into her life, and that her healing ministry was going to be brought forth, which I didn't know that she had, but she does. And she did admit it, that God was talking to her about it. So anyway, to make a long story short, you see all the smiles on the faces. I mean, the Holy Spirit really ministered to this family. I just cannot tell you how he really just lifted them up and just turn their mourning into dancing, and they're going to impact a lot of people. Of course, I don't know, have you ever heard of the band Tree 63? It's a Christian band. It's called So that's the lead singer for Tree 63, and they were actually pretty big over here, and they're big over there. But of course, Peter married the guy, so they invited me to this concert, so I just was going to go to the concert. But as it turns out, now we're meeting the guy that was doing the concert. And I ended up ministering over him. I had a very, very specific word for him. And it really touched his life because he's kind of in a crossroads and he's deciding whether to go back into full time into music. He does some other stuff too. And I think the Lord was really kind of confirming it to him and also to tell him that he wasn't thinking big enough and he needed to move more in the spirit when he sings. And so it's kind of, he has one of those bands where, you know, they're Christian, but they really don't come off as being super Christian. It's hard to explain, but I just felt like he got tipped over that night. And these two guys just come out of nowhere. Because they know Peter, they come up and Apostle Peter or whatever, and of course, Peter goes, hey, you got a word for these two guys. So I did, and they were just like, they were just blowing, they were just so, the Holy Spirit just, I love to watch, the Holy Spirit just blows people away. I just enjoy it. I really do. I love to see the reactions, how people react to the Spirit of God, you know, and it's always the same. It's the fruit is just, there's joy, there's a wonder. It's just, there's a strengthening that happens. And those guys were just really blessed. This guy's a street evangelist and he's a phenomenal evangelist. I mean, he goes to the streets all the time and he's very active in helping them extend out. And this was a home group that we just, I was supposed to go to the prison on a Saturday morning. Before I left, I felt like I wasn't supposed to go into the prisons. And then they kind of set it up anyway. And then anyway, God nixed it. I didn't have to worry about it. Just blocked the door so we couldn't go in. This little girl, during the home meeting, the Holy Spirit comes on her and she just prophesies. It was unbelievable. The purity that came out through that little girl was absolutely amazing. And we were ministering to a lady there that has gone through some real, real serious circumstances in life, and a word of comfort just came through that little girl. And the way she said it, it's like she was an Einstein. She became like super intelligent. I can't describe it. It was the most beautiful prophecy that I have heard in a long, long time. It was so pure, and it just absolutely touched her heart. And I was just amazed by it. And that was just the Holy Spirit doing things. In this particular meeting, now this is in the beginning, this is in Phoenix, and this is the last church that I was in. It was a Sunday morning, and in this particular church, there was a heaviness. I mean, I came in and it was like a real heaviness, and I turned to Peter and I said, Peter, do you feel that heaviness? And he says, yeah. And so after the worship, what I did is I got up and I had the guy, the worship leader, come back up, because he had mentioned during his worship time that talked about that, you know, when the Spirit of the Lord moves within my heart, I will sing like David sang. He had mentioned that. And so, will you come up and just sing that? And then down the way, you can kind of make her out a little bit. I think it's right here. That's his daughter. And she is a powerful worship minister. In fact, that was one of the strongest worship meetings I'd ever been in, was last year with her. Well, she wasn't singing that day, and we're all kind of looking forward to it. So I got her up there with the guy, and so we started singing. Well, as we're singing, this woman over here, demonic spirits start coming out of her. No one laid a hand on her, not just start right on out. And the presence of God just does things. I think one of the things that we have to recognize and realize is that we are carrying around that presence. You know, in the modern day, we're the modern day Ark. You know, they carried that presence around in the Old Testament. You can see that Ark. Well, we're carrying that around. And that presence is radioactive. I mean, it is strong. And so don't underestimate what you carry. You impact the area that you are working in or wherever you're sent in. You contaminate it. And you contaminate when you're aware of it. You know, it's not like, you know, you're just, you know, you're not God, but you're carrying him around. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, don't underestimate what might happen, you know, around you. And so that, I was really encouraged by that. I've seen it before, but God really, really encouraged this church. They needed to be built up, and God really did that. And then afterwards, about the whole place came up, and we just ministered. I think that's it. Is that it? Is that the last one? All right. All right. Move this. So watch me move this. Thanks for letting me share that. Let's get into the Word. The servant of God says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple as one who is taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one is taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I have not been rebellious, nor have I turned backward." Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and manifest yourself whichever way you see fit. That you give us unction tonight to be able to bring your word. Lord, you know each and every vessel that has been gathered here tonight. You know the needs of the room. Father, you know each and every person's mission on this earth. Father, you're aware of just the different issues and different tests and storms that those that have come here tonight might be in right now. But as in all things, Lord God, it says in your word that we'll know the truth and the truth shall make us free. And so, Father, I ask that your truth would come now and minister in our midst, that you'd meet the needs of your children that are here gathered tonight, the one that needs encouragement, the one that needs healing, the one that needs direction, Lord God, the one that needs a solution, that whatever it is, Lord, Holy Spirit, you know what it is. And so we just give you free rein, and we just ask you, and we welcome you here, and we thank you for being in our midst, and thank you in advance for what you've done here tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Isaiah 14. Lex, could you get me a water over there? Give me a water, please. Thank you. Well, the person that gets there first gets the prize. Whatever. It's a mint. Isaiah 14, starting at verse 12. I was thinking about this word for a while. It came to me on Monday. And thank you. I believe this is something that is very important that we are aware of, but also for your ministries. Because the Holy, you're probably aware of it, and I say this a lot, that there's really a real testing going on right now in the body of Christ. And when I went over there, I kept coming out of me wherever I was going, and people were like resonating with us. Yeah, I'm in the test, you know. And the test, you know, is always something that, you know, and I use the illustration of Moses, you know, at the waters of Marah, when Israel was traveling for 30-some miles. And you get the picture, you know, of life sometimes, you know, where you're really in the grind and doing, and you've just been doing something for a while and you're waiting for God to move or whatever. And, you know, they're 30 miles and they finally come to some waters and they're like, man, good, we got to the waters. And then find out they can't drink them because they're poisoned. And then they start to complain. And I think sometimes our relationship with the Lord can be that way at times, you know, where we get worn out over a particular situation and we're not necessarily complaining to him, but there's that little anger that comes up within us, or maybe that disappointment, or like, you know, when God, how come? And, you know, are you going to move, or, you know, what's going on here? And so the response by the two, you know, Moses prayed and the people complained, and the guy that prayed, you know, got the answer. He got the solution. So I get the tree, put it in the water, I'll make the waters pure. He does this, the water gets pure, but that wasn't the purpose of God. Now we know that God led them there. He led them to the waters. And so God leads you and me to places where we're tested. There's no question about that. And how we respond in that test is very, very important. And Moses prayed, so he got the solution, but that wasn't the purpose of God. The purpose of God was to reveal himself to Moses in a way that Moses had not yet known him as the healer, to reveal himself through the tree, which was an example of Jesus dying on the cross. And so that was the purpose of God. And so these tests are very important. So there's a weeding out that takes place when we're tested. There's something that comes up in the in our lives, whether it be character, bad character, or whatever it might be, but there's always something that comes up in the test. And you have to be aware what that is, because that's something that God, the Holy Spirit, is dealing with you and me, and he wants to refine us. So you have to ask yourself, how are you being refined right now? What is it the Holy Spirit is doing in your life to refine you? What is it that you're being taught? How is he revealing himself to you? Because, you know, to know Jesus is something that takes more than a lifetime. You know, Apostle Paul talked about that. It says, my determined purpose is to know him and to know the wonders of his person and to know the power outflowing from the resurrection. That was his objective. And so tonight I want to share something that I believe that God is, we need to be aware of. In fact, the last song that you shared was really important, because it's kind of like a little bit of the theme tonight about humbling ourselves before the Lord. I'm ringing just a little bit. I've got a little bit of a ring. That we need to understand what humility is, but I really do believe that song was very key to end with tonight, because if we do humble ourselves before the Lord, he will exalt us in due time. He will lift us up. And so humility is something that needs to be developed in all of us. And how the Holy Spirit does that with you is probably different than how he'll do it with me. But at the end of the day, he does do that. Now, let's go to Isaiah. I like to read this scripture because it tells the defeat of that which is against us. It says, how have you fallen from heaven, O light bringer, and day star, son of the morning? How you have been cut down to the ground, you who have weakened the nations and laid low the nations. And you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the assembly of the uttermost north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High God. This is Satan talking. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to Hades, to the innermost recesses of the pit, the region of the dead. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms? And so we have an example right there of something, Satan himself, who for whatever crazy reason thought he could be God or be like God or whatever he was thinking, because he wasn't thinking clearly, obviously. But it was pride. He had pride. And one of the things that I would caution you to guard in your ministries and your mission is to guard you from pride, because pride is one of the things that can really be a killer in your life. Because it says in the scripture that pride cometh before destruction. It says that God gives grace to the humble, resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble in the book of James. And so pride is something that God will oppose you in. If you have pride in your life, he will oppose you. And so, as you know, we're not going to win that fight. But I think we need to recognize that maybe there's some things that God is dealing with in our lives that, you know, where he's opposing us in, where we're not quite yet complete in a certain area. So being in the training of the Holy Spirit is much different than to be in the discipline house of God, where he's, you know, taking out and, you know, giving you a spanking or whatever. There's a little bit different. So, you know, if you're in the training harness of God, that's a good thing, because there's a humility in that. I'm in the training harness, and things will come out in those experiences. And it's easier to get adjusted in the training harness than it is to get adjusted in a fish. Because Jonah was put in a fish. Now, I was reading Jonah after the word of the Lord came to Jonah after he had the fish experience. It says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and Jonah went up and went right to Nineveh. He didn't wait. He went right. Well, he got trained by a fish. He didn't have to go through that. So just know this, that if there is some pride that's in you or in me, God will deal with it, but it's best to do it under the training harness than to have the fish oppose you, or to take you to your destination, I should say. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, I just want to read this scripture real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24 says, "But to those who are called, whether Jew or Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolish thing in God is wiser than men, and the weak thing from God is stronger than men. For consider your own call, brethren. Not many of you were considered to be wise according to human estimates and standards, not many influential and powerful, not many high and noble birth. No, for God selected, deliberately chose what in the world is foolish to put to wise, to put the wise to shame, and what the world calls weak to put the strong to shame. And God also selected, deliberately chose what in the world is low-born and insignificant and branded and treated with contempt, even the things that are nothing, that he might dispose and bring to nothing the things that are, so that no mortal man should have pretense for glory and boast in the presence of God." So I'm just establishing a kind of a purpose that God deliberately chooses people that the world considers foolish. And he points out, Paul does to the people that are in, he says, look at you guys, you're not many mobile, not many, you know, this or that. And that's really true. You know, so if you consider yourself a simple person, and you're in good company, you know, I mean, it's just the way that it is. And so that's why you need to understand that the significant thing about your life and my life is what who lives within us that makes us, you know, more than significant. And so that which is within you and which is in me cannot just change us, but it can bring us to our destinations of who we are in Him. And so I just want to encourage you in that. Now, let's get into what I want to talk about tonight. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, it says, "When swelling and pride come," I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible, so it's a little more wordy. "When swelling and pride come, then emptiness and shame come also. But with the humble, those who are lowly, who have been pruned and chiseled by trial and renounce self, are skillful in godly wisdom and soundness. When swelling and pride come and emptiness and shame come also, but with the humble, those who are lowly, who have been pruned or chiseled by trial and renounce self, are skillful in godly wisdom and soundness." So those that have been humbled and who've been under trial and chiseled and trained, out of them comes skillful and godly wisdom and soundness. So that's a fruit of being trained by the Holy Spirit. You have that. But what's interesting in this, when swelling and pride come, I really researched that word pride there. And the Hebrew word there is zadon. And I almost sounded French there. But it's the definition of that is arrogance. And also, it also means presumptuous. And I did a little bit of a deep dive in presumptuous, and that's what I really wanted to bring out tonight. And those of you got my little video, I talked about this, but I felt like I needed to do it again because it's something that you and I probably have been guilty of many times, unknowingly. But presumptuous, just a definition of it, it's an idea that is taken to be true and is often used as the basis for other ideas, although it is not known for certain. An idea that is taken to be true and is often used as the basis for other ideas, although it is not known for certain. And I like that idea that says that it's not true. It could be true, but it's not, okay? But I like this as a basis for other ideas. Now, you and I know that the scripture specifically says that we are to what? Take every thought captive. Presumptuous is something where you look at a situation, a person, or whatever it might be, and you presume that you think you know something. But the problem is that when you get into presumption, as it says here, it lays a foundation for other ideas. And so presumptuous is not the discernment of the Lord. So a presumptuous can lay the ideas, the foundation for other thoughts to be flooded into our lives that creates a perception of a situation or a person that's completely false. It's a false discernment. And it's rooted in pride. It's rooted in pride. And this is where Jesus really gets the rubber meets the road, where he gets into judgment and things like that. And he says, you know, hey, you know, why are you sitting there trying to take the board out of speck out of somebody else's eye, but you got a board in your eye? He said, first take the board out of your own eye, then you can see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. He talked about that a lot because, see, Jesus, he didn't, you know, we'll read this in just a second, but, you know, he never judged by what he saw with his eyes or heard with his ears. Jesus was totally controlled by the Father. He says, and that's what he says, I can do nothing on my own. As the voice comes to me, as the Lord speaks to me, as it says in John, I give a decision, and my decision is just and right because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself. He learned how to separate his will from the Father's will. He knew what his will was. He had to have. Because he couldn't sit there and say, I'm not going to consult my own will if he didn't know what it was. But we have a blended understanding of the will of God. We have our will and the will of God kind of blended sometimes. And this is where we get into trouble. That's why the Holy Spirit is teaching you and me to understand the difference between God's will and our will. When you know the difference between the two, then you don't consult your will when it comes to situations that you're praying for. And many times you need to hear from God for people, for situations, and so forth. You know, just in an example, you know, when I would go into a competition, I'd always want to know if I'm going to win. Of course, you want to know that as a coach. I can't tell you, there's been quite a few times where I thought I was going to win. I thought God told me I was going to win, and we didn't win that day. In fact, it was exactly the opposite. It was disaster. And I'm like, how did I miss that? I thought I heard. Well, all I heard was my will. This isn't something that just comes overnight either. You know, it's something that you really have to kind of work on. And the way to work on it is by taking every thought captive and learning to discern what it is actually coming into your head in the air, in the arena of thoughts. To get to a place of maturity, there's no other way to get there. That's why the Apostle Paul was teaching us these things. So presumption is an idea that is taken to be true and is often used as the basis for other ideas, although it is not known for certain. How many wars have been fought over that? How many divorces? How many churches have split? This is something that's a really big problem. And that's why God is weeding this out of us. He wants us to walk in the discernment of God, not the discernment of man. Now, let's get into a scriptural example of that. 1 Samuel, verse 28. This is a situation where we know that David was called to be king. And we know that David was also led to defeat the giant. God's hand was on David. He was anointed to be king. And so David is going down to where the battle is, where the giant is. So he's in position. He's in God's perfect position. He's in God's perfect will. He is God's man in the situation. So he's down here to see the battle. And verse 28 says, now Eliab, his eldest brother, that's David's brother, heard that he said to the men, and Eliab's anger, see, David was going, who is this giant, you know, that's come down and taunted the armies of God and this type of thing, and his brother had overheard him. So his brother's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why did you come here? With whom have you have left these few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and evilness of heart, for you come down that you might see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Was it not a harmless question? And so here is Eliab, his brother, presumes that David has come down to just see the battle. He doesn't know his heart. He doesn't know why. He doesn't know he's going to be king. He doesn't know any of that stuff. But he makes this presumption. It's a perfect example of how sometimes you and I in life have made presumptions about people. I mean, he couldn't have been any farther wrong if he tried. And who is he to even think that? You see, this is where pride is something that, you know, gets in us, where we observe a situation, a person, and thinking that we know their heart. You know, I've shared this before, where I was working in an Emperor Children's Home, and, you know, there was a woman that taught I was like the facilitator, principal, or whatever of the school, and this teacher over here, she'd always send people she didn't want to deal with into my office, and I thought she was a devil. I didn't like her at all. I didn't like her attitude, I didn't like the way she looked. I mean, I just didn't like her. I mean, I'm being honest. That's where I was at the time. This is many years ago, by the way. It wasn't last week. So it's back in the 80s. So anyway, you know, I gave a letter. I put a little note to the student. I knew that if when he took it back, that she was going to get mad and come over and cuss me out. And sure enough, I saw her coming at my office, and she's going to come to my office, so I'm going to kick her out of my office. That's going to give me great joy. I mean, that's how warped I am at this point, you know. I just didn't like her. She comes in, I kick her out of my office, and I shut the door, and then the Holy Spirit starts speaking to me. He said, brilliant, you really showed her my love. And, you know, I sat there, well, don't you know? And I started talking to the Holy Spirit about her like he doesn't know her, you know what I mean? Oh, but don't you know? You see how she acts, you know, that type of thing. And then he started to show me of why she was the way she was, how she had been abused, and all this stuff about her past and things like that. And it melted me. I mean, it really did. It disarmed me for sure. And, you know, I said, well, I didn't know. And he said, well, you never asked. And so this presumptuous thing that we have about people has got to be rooted out of us. You know, we have to pray for people. Sometimes you will have discernment about individuals. I'm not saying don't use the discernment of the Lord. I'm saying don't use the discernment of man, because we don't really know why people are the way they are. And to be effective in your ministries, and especially in arenas of healing, you must understand this, because God looks upon the heart. He understands the frailties. He understands the why we are the way we are, how we mishandled, how we misjudged, how we didn't do whatever. And so when we really start to understand that, we can really start to move effectively in our ministries over people, because now we're moving over into the will of God, which is to save what? All mankind. So that person that's given us the problems or situation, they are worthy of saving, because Jesus, that's his bounty. He was crucified on the cross that all mankind would come to know him. That's his bounty. That's what he possesses to me in the spirit, that he possesses the potential that all mankind would be redeemed. So we must approach people in that spirit. Remember what John, and was it John the one to call fire down on people? He said, Lord, should we call fire down on them? Man, I tell you what, man, if I could have called fire down, you've been reading it in the papers. You know, I mean, there were a lot of people I wanted fire to come down on, you know, not to kill them, but just to let them know, God, you know, look who you're messing with, you know. Yeah, I'm the anointed. Don't touch not that anointed, you know. You ever hear that? You ever say that? There are people that do that kind of stuff. They're just that warped, you know. I mean, if somebody's touching your anointing, God will take care of them. He will. He just does. I've seen stuff happen to people before, you know. So anyway, but that's a good example right there. So presumptions are not the discernment of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 11, this is the discernment that Jesus had. It says in Isaiah 11:1, it says, there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, David's father, and a branch out of his roots shall grow and bear fruit. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, that is Jesus, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of the knowledge and of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And he shall make him of a quick understanding. And his delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, neither decide by the hearing of his ears. And so he had a perfect example there. That's our example right there. That's how the Lord moved. He moved that way. He never judged by what he saw with his ears or his eyes. One other thing there's acts of presumption. In Numbers chapter 12, now Miriam and Aaron talked against Moses, their brother, because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite woman. And he said to him, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, gentle, kind, and humble above all men on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tent of the meeting." And the three of them came out. I mean, my gosh, can you imagine that? The Lord came down in a pillar of a cloud and stood at the tent door and called Aaron and Miriam, and they came forward. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision and speak to him in a dream. But not so with my servant Moses. He is entrusted and faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly, and not in dark speeches. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. And Aaron looked at Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. So, there again, that's an act of presumption. They presumed that they could just speak against Moses. They presumed they could make all these estimations, and it's a form of pride. You can see pride. You know, and I mean, does God just speak through Moses? Does he not speak through us as well? And so this is a very serious thing that obviously they were confronted with. You know, another scripture, we got two more. One is in 2 Samuel. Chapter 6. This is again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, and arose and went with all the people who were with him to bring the ark up from there, the ark of God, which is called the name of the Lord of hosts, who sits enthroned above the cherubim. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Esau and Ahio, was sons of Abinadab, I can't say that, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of that person, which was on the hill, and with the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord with their might, with songs, lyres, harps, tambourines, and symbols. I mean, can you picture this? I mean, they're bringing the ark in. I mean, that was David's objective, was to take Jerusalem and return the ark to its rightful place. That's why he had a heart after God. He wanted what God wanted. God wanted Jerusalem back in the hands of Israel, and he wanted to return the ark to its rightful place. And so that was David's assignment, and that's what David wanted. So here they're bringing it in, and they're having this big celebration. I mean, you know, it's like church. We're going to bring the presence of God in on this new thing. You know? I mean, we're going to celebrate, and God's going to be before us and this type of thing. And what happens? The cart starts to teeter like this, and Esau comes up and tries to steady it from tipping over, that's not a bad thing, is it? I mean, he's just doing a good thing, and he gets struck dead like that. Why? Because they just presumed they could bring in the ark of God on their own procedures. The ark was to be not on a cart. It was to be carried with these rods, and the priests were to carry it in. And David just completely didn't follow any kind of protocol at all. And the results were, as you saw, paid a price. There's a real lesson in this for us today. Again, presumption. Presume they could just do it anyway. And it's just not that way with the Lord. Even though we're under grace and we serve a mighty God, there's still procedures. There's still a way to approach ministry. There's still a way to approach the power of God to move through you and through me. And it's in a reverence. It's a real reverence. It's in the fear of the Lord. It's an understanding that God loves people beyond what you and I can comprehend. That's why it says that the love of God is beyond knowledge. You can have knowledge of an individual doing X, Y, and Z bad, but God loves them beyond even that knowledge. And that's what's so important that we hear this message, because I believe this is a real important nugget that we need to walk out of here with, because that is the, like I said, top of the reverential fear of God, because we don't fear him in the way that we should at times. We can't just blatantly, flippantly just do ministry, just to do ministry. We have to understand that there are procedures that we are, when we approach someone, that we move towards them in the right protocol. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Esau and God and smote them. They were touching the ark, and he died there by the ark. One more scripture. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, a certain man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge and conveyance, he kept back and wrongfully appropriated some of the proceeds, bringing only part and putting it at the feet of the apostles. So basically, the crime was that they sold this piece of property, and they could have just said, hey, we're going to give you a portion of what we sell and lay it at your feet. You know, we're not going to give it all to you because we need to have some money for whatever. And they could have done that, but that's not what they did. And they did it presuming, you know, because after all, you know, who's going to find out? The apostles aren't going to know. But presuming they could just do that, and they found out that you have to look at this like this. There isn't anybody in here who doesn't want to see the power of God turned up way up. I mean, where the presence just comes, where the floor is too high, and we see these signs and wonders and utilized in them in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and stuff like that. But when it's turned up to that level, there is something that's different. And we need to recognize, remember what Jesus said when he sent out the 70? He said, woe to Chorazin, and woe, because of the miracles that were done in Sodom and Gomorrah that were done in you, they would have repented years ago. And it's so true, because with that power of God, you got a demonstration of the power of God that brings about holiness. And you just can't move any way you want and lie in that kind of presence, in that kind of power. And so you read here, it's amazing. You see, so they do this, and in verse 5 it says, upon hearing the words, Ananias fell down and died, and great dread and terror took possession of all who heard it. So church changed that day. And then his wife comes in verse 10, and instantly she fell down at his feet and died, and the young men entering found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Now that's being slain in the spirit. Just saying. And the whole church and all others who heard these things were appalled. Great awe and strange terror and dread seized them. But you go down to verse 14, it says, more and more were being added to the Lord those who believed, those who acknowledged Jesus as their Savior and devoted themselves to him, joined and gathered with them, crowds both of men and of women, so that they even kept carrying out the sick into the streets and placing them on couches and on sleeping pads in the hope that as Peter passed by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. And the people gathered also from the towns and the hamlets around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those troubled with foul spirits, and they were all cured. And so we have just a great opportunity here, I think, that we're living in a time and a season where the kingdom of God is being manifested all over this earth. And I mean, in ways that, you know, we don't really know, because we don't know everything that's going on out there, but God wants to use you in this revival. It's simple as that. I mean, it really is. It's for everybody. And I don't know how. I can't tell you exactly how he's going to use each one of you. And obviously, it's your mission. But I can just tell you that it's his will. And step into your destiny. You know, step into it. Walk in the discernment of the Spirit, not in the discernment of man. Don't be presumptuous about people. You may or may not know, you know, what somebody is going through. You know, and really need to walk in the counsel of God, and allow him to really move in you in such a way, and let him refine you. And it doesn't matter where you're at right now. I mean, like I said, you know, this little girl was 13 years old. She never ever prophesied. She didn't even probably know what it was. And yet the Holy Spirit took her tongue. All she did was just say, I just feel like God is speaking to me right now. That's how she started out. And I just feel like I need to say it. I'm not sure if it's the Lord, but I mean, she was like, you could tell she was like, this is something is happening here. And it was so pure. So it doesn't matter where you're at. I mean, you could just be born again just recently. That doesn't really matter. What matters is that you make yourself available to love people that are around you. That if love is your preceding word, if love is your objective with all people, the love of the Lord, that is, then you're opening yourself up to have the thoughts of God flood your mind, flood your heart, and get in your mouth. Because that is always the preceding word to me. You know, I was always amazed, because years ago when I was in that maximum security prison in South Africa, and I got up to speak, as I looked at the crowd, I didn't see one prisoner. I didn't see any murderers. God supernaturally messed me up, and I just didn't see that way. All I saw were people out there that needed a touch from God. And I know he did that by the Spirit, because, you know, I walked in there and I was like, man, I've been in prison in the States. This is something at another level, you know. But and it was scary on some levels, you know, but just had to believe that, you know, I was going to get out of there. Okay. But just being in a group of, in a congregation of people who are incarcerated for various things, to see how God loved them was just changed me. You know, that understood that his sacrifice was just absolutely amazing. It's overwhelming. The victory is overwhelming. There's nothing can stop him. There's nothing can stop the love of God. Nothing can overpower God. There's nothing. He's so overwhelmingly, the victory is so complete. This is, I read, you know, like Satan's, he's down, he's been stripped, man. And so you've got the ability within you to be able to reach out, not just to receive what you need in your own vessel, because we need to receive teaching. We need to receive strength. It says that the Holy Spirit can quicken our mortal flesh even. So if you need a quickening in your body, there's nothing wrong with, hey, I need to be quickened here, you know. I need some strength. Whatever it might be, he's able to do it. He's able to do it. Amen. Praise God. My sister, you got.
There's no coincidence that this week I've been reading about the fear of the Lord, and also the same scripture you quoted about Peter and Shannon. And yep. One scripture I ran across was, teach me the fear of the Lord. So that's what I've been saying in my time, is teach me. Mm. And we all know a shadow can't heal anybody, it just gives glory.
Right. Amen. And yet it says in the script in Isaiah, it says to Jesus that the fear of the Lord was his treasure. It says in Philippians, it said the reason why his prayers were answered was because of the fear of the Lord. And so there's something that God is restoring to us, and it's in our testings. I mean, when you're trained by God, you know, it's in that. You have the respect. You always have respect for your teacher. There's no question about it. But you know, I don't know anybody that didn't. You read the scriptures. How were they? had different visitations, and they all trembled. And they did. They all did. They all, a lot of them did face firsts. I mean, you know, so we do, or God is a consuming fire. He is very, 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 very powerful. But I just want to encourage you, because I believe your ministries are very significant. You are positioned perfectly in life right now around people who need a touch from God. And whatever it is, maybe it's just intercession, maybe just praying for them or whatever it might be, but start reaching out. Start reaching out, because you're going to find out that's where the flow is. And God, you know, Jesus said, you know, out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Rivers. So you get my sister here, you're just a big river. God just moves through you. Moves through you. You know, it says in the scriptures, having done all, stand, and stand is an active word sometimes, you know. And you know, there's nothing wrong with knocking on the door 50 times. You know God heard you the first time, but you can keep going. Just knocking out of your persistence, things can break forth too. You know, sometimes we pray and we respect Him and say, Lord, I know you prayed and you heard me and I know you're gonna do it, and we just kind of sit there. But then there's that prayer that just, you know what? It says in your word here, it says the watchmen were watchmen on the wall that kept reminding you until you established. And I just feel in my spirit that God wants you to have that kind of ministry where you're going to get a victory and then another victory out of persistence. You know, that there's this determination within you that God has been building up over a period of years. It's a strength, it's a faith, you know, it's a knowing, it's an understanding, but it's also a battle plan. I really feel like the Lord has given you a real battle plan tonight to be persistent in prayer, be persistent and prepare and reminding Him. And it doesn't matter what the situation looks like. In fact, the more hopeless that it is, the more you need to remind. Amen. 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 See, when you remind the Lord, all of a sudden what you're doing, that reminding of the Lord, is you're actually stepping in into His presence. And now you're reminding Him in His presence, which is different than kind of shooting up a prayer. See, when you remind Him and you're in His presence, it's a different dimension. I really believe that your prayer is about to move into that. And your ministry is going to expand. Like I said, it's like water. So you're just a river of wealth. Just a river of just God's love. And you've seen God's love move. You've loved people that didn't. You've loved the unloved. You know, the difficult ones. That's why He keeps sending them to you. Amen. Amen. Because you will bandage them up. You know, it's almost like a nurse and moves through you at times. God is so good. So I believe the healing ministry is going to birth out of your obedience to Him. So just be encouraged in that. I don't know if you've ever seen the laid hands and seen Him recover, but you're going to. Just be faithful in that. Amen. God is so good. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. I mean, as I came in, I just saw you as the Minuteman, the guy that brings the solution, you know, the guy that, you know, my wife went through 7 years of depression. But and most people don't make it through 7 years, what she had to deal with. It was difficult. But God gave me a solid picture of her healing. It was so rock hard that, you know, like when I would encourage her, you know, it wasn't like, oh, you're going to be okay. And like, oh man, this is bad. And I had some kind of a revelation that came from the throne room, and nothing could move me because I saw it. This is clear as day. And it came to pass. There was time involved in it, which made it difficult for me, but it happened. So that I just see you like that. I see you as an undergirder, an encourager, a strengthener. Where God has called you to build people up, and you've been doing it most of your life. And I just want to encourage you in that ministry, that the Word of God is very going to be precise. You're going to be like a surgeon, like a neurosurgeon. God's going to take you directly into His Word, and there's going to be things you're going to gravitate towards, and you're just going to be thinking on them, and that's going to become so much part inside of you. It's like, you know, you're eating, digesting, literally digesting the Word of God, where it becomes just so alive within you. And it's going to encourage you, you know. And your tears are tears of intercession. And He saw them, and He heard them. He says, I am going to dry those tears. So just know that. So just be encouraged that ministry that you have is a very essential one, a very important one. And so I don't know, I'd see word of, you know, we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's that word of wisdom. And I see you moving in the word of wisdom. And the word of wisdom is a practical application to the word of God, where the God would receive a word, but you understand how to apply it. And many other people around you need to know some things. And you're going to be, it's like the, you know, the ones that, you know, they're so educated behind, they're too educated. They're just so educated, they're almost become their own gods. And you have a ministry to these people, man. And you're going to just set them free, because you're going to come against situations. There's no solution on the earth that they can possibly find. It's only going to be in God. And you're going to be the guy that's going to lead them to him every time. So just be encouraged in Jesus' name. I believe you're moving into the fifth phase of your ministry. I don't know what you do for a living, but I really want to encourage you that even in your workplace, God's going to use this wisdom in a greater dimension. And it's going to just, springs are going to spring up as a result of it. And there's going to be an acceleration. The blessing of God is going to accelerate in your life, brother. And you're going to know that it's his hand, because you couldn't have done it. You're going to know it's his hand is on it, but there's a reason for it. And all the giving, all the investments over the period of years, the projects here, and some of these projects, you know, kind of didn't pan out, but just the investments now are going to be very specific, and they're going to grow. It's like God's going to water it, because it's going to be his hand. So I just want to encourage you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Brother. Amen. Amen. I want to call you professor. As I look at you, I want to call you professor. Amen. When, you know, he says, study to show yourself approved unto the Lord. And as I look at you, I see study. And you put you're one that's given to study. And I see you seeking out truth, you know, and something might be said, you're like, yeah, I heard that before. You go through it, and you find, well, that's true. Or you might go through and find, that is not true. And this has been a frustration for you, I think. So I just want to encourage you that, you know, there's so much stuff being said right now. Everybody needs to be tested. And, I mean, you know, really tried. So I just want to encourage you in that ministry, you know. And you might have to do some confronting. Amen. You might have to do some confronting, because there's some false doctrine out there, you know, and it's very subtle, you know, but one word this way and one word that way can make a big difference when it comes to the things of God. So consider yourself a professor in the spirit, man, because you really do have a theology in terms in God that really digs out truth. Praise God. God is so good. Amen. I don't like to prophesy economics over people necessarily, but there's an economic blessing, I believe, coming your way. And I don't know if it's an investment or what it is. God doesn't show me specifically, but something that you need. It's a need. Amen? So anyway, let that be judged. If it doesn't come, then bring a rock next time. Amen. You guys know each other? No. These two? It's your wife? Oh, okay. Because you look close. I just want to make sure. Because I've made that mistake before. Amen. 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 God is so good. I just want to give you a word of encouragement. You know, I really see the Lord really strengthening you. You need some strength. You know, we talked about the waters of Marah, you know, and they got worn out, because there was a long journey, and I see you on a long journey. You know, I'm saying you're just tired. You just need some strength. So I'm just believing the Holy Spirit is quickening you tonight and saying, hey, I see your situation. My hand is on it. I will encourage you. Amen. Just know this, you can't control other people, right? Amen. Only God can change people. But he has heard your prayer. So your prayers of intercession, if you think about it, if you're praying in the Holy Spirit, which you know how to do, and you're believing the Lord, which you know how to do, he heard it and he will perform it. There is no way it will not be answered. It's an impossibility. If I had one of my loved ones decide they were going to go yonder and they shouldn't go yonder or whatever, and they were just do whatever, I know I could pray them out. I know that it wouldn't matter about maybe take 10 years, maybe take 50 years, or maybe it'll take a day. It doesn't really matter. I know that my prayers, that my people that I love, that I care about in the Lord, I'm being led by the Holy Spirit. Why would the Holy Spirit lead me into, no, he doesn't lead me. He leads me into triumph. So that must mean my prayer life is also leading me into triumph. That must mean that he is a warrior inside of me, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that is leading me in this. This isn't my will, it's his will. And I really believe that God is going to reveal his will to you in such a dramatic way that you know that when you pray, it is done. Now you can remind him, but he's going to die. He says, I will save you and your household. So his arms are not too short. He can reach out and he can bring in people that are going the wrong way and looking at stuff that looks just like there's so much false doctrine out there and just all kinds of junk and people get it in their heads and, you know, they're blind. But you know what? God's given you a sword in your hand. You've got a sword, sister, and you're a warrior. You are a warrior. Warrior footing is a word for you. It's time to get on warrior footing. Amen. And you know, you're not one to give in anger. You're not one that's going to get, you know, you're not, that's not the way you're wired. But when you do get riled up, when you do get to that point, you know how to go nuclear. Well, you got to go nuclear on the devil on this situation. Amen. Amen. It's okay. Amen. Amen. And then if you need to take it out on him, you can do that because he can handle it because he's the professor. Amen. He can handle it. Amen. So I just want to encourage you in Jesus' name. I just see God really, your prayers are just, they're right on target. The discernment. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You got any prophecies over there, Professor? Lewis? No? You got one or no? No. Holding back. Something else here. I keep being drawn over this way over here. Amen. Come on up here, sister. I just feel like I need to pray with you. Yeah, come on up here. If you can, I can come back to you. I'll come back to you. How's that? I know you're dealing with something. I'll come back to you. I'll come back to you. Praise the Lord. That was so good. Amen. Yeah, as I look back at you, I see you so full of love. You know what I'm saying? I almost feel like you need to pray for me. You know? People just don't get filled with love, you know, by mistake. You know what I mean? And that's just you spending time in the presence of the Lord. You know? And so love is like a river. You know, and it just flows and oozes out of you. So we're just going to let the Holy Spirit just flow through you. Father, I just thank you for the love of Jesus that you've placed in this vessel, and the peace of God, and the peace of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, the peace of Jesus. I just speak peace to this body, this vessel right now in Jesus' name. The peace of Jesus. Thank you, Father. God is so good. Pora hasundia ke dana soria na kaka shuta poto. Te de de ke montota ta sanda de ke kada. The peace of Jesus. The peace of Jesus. That's the peace of Jesus.
Jesus. Strengthen the
weakened. Thank you, Jesus. The peace of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. The peace of Jesus. The peace of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Melt it away. Melt it away. Melt it away.
Peace of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise Jesus. Father, it says in your word that you gave the authority to the 70 that you sent out. There was authority in the mission. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority over this spirit of infirmity that's attacked this body. You have no right to it, and you must leave it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, that word love keeps coming up before me. I know you needed the healing, so we dealt with that. But this love is something that is really a something that you've learned to manifest and really care for people. That Jesus was moved with compassion. And I really see you moved with compassion. And so what you're doing, whatever you're doing in the Lord, you continue it. And as he moves you with compassion, whether he puts somebody before your mind or in front of you or whatever, just begin to step out as you can, okay? And just minister that love to people, because it's going to set them free. It really is. I really see that. It's really a real divine deliverance that God wants to move through you in that realm. You know, and you know how to move in that realm anyway, you know. And you don't like the attention anyway. No, you don't. Right? But you got it anyway, right? You know, because God's just breaking that down, Barry, right now, okay? It's time to receive, right? You've been giving out all these years to everybody, you know. You have. You've been giving out to everybody, meeting everybody else's needs. Just you've shelved yours, and now this time you reap what you've sowed, right? All right? She's going to get a little bit of attention, all right? Amen. Now, see, even Lewis came over here. Go ahead, brother.
I rebuke infirmity.
Yes.
I speak healing to this brain.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, by the Spirit of the Most High God, I rebuke this infirmity. I command you to loosen her mind and her soul.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. I declare the blood of Christ Jesus upon her mind, her soul. I pronounce her clean. I pronounce her whole. I pronounce her healed. And I command the electrical system in her brain to come in alignment with the Word of God. I speak healing to the neurons, every segment of her, even the basal cell, of her, the basal part of her brain, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for light coming into her brain right now. I thank you, God, for light coming into her brain right now, God. I thank you, God, for every segment, every region, Lord, being illuminated and healed. Rejuvenation, restoration. And I praise you for God. Oh, thank you for it, Lord. And I thank you, tomorrow's a new day. I thank you, God, for symptoms fleeing in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, for a walk straight. I thank you, God, for a pointing of the finger straight in Jesus' name, God. I thank you, Lord, for strengthening her limbs and her arms, Lord God. And I praise you for it, Father. Our words have power and meaning. We have declared the word of God over her life and the will of the Most High. And it shall be so in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We rejoice in it, Father. We rejoice in the finished work. In the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All God's people said, amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, praise God. God is so good. It's such a team here. Appreciate it. Everybody just comes together. And some one sister, she had to leave here. She was on oxygen for I don't know how long.
Yeah.
She wants to testify. She came off the oxygen. So that's good.